Good morning. Good to be here. I hope that you have a good end of the year with your family and your friends. We had the privilege to have our family visiting from New York and from Atlanta, and we are really grateful for that. They are here with me today. Denise is not here because she's not feeling well. Last Monday, I get this call and still linger. It's almost gone. I think it's almost gone, 80%. But she's having a lot of problems with the symptoms. So please excuse us for she's not here for that reason today. She don't want to share the germs with you. So yes, we are very. We like to share with everybody, but not that kind of things. But I'm really grateful, and I hope that you have a good health. And today is our first Sabbath in this new year, 2015. And every single year, at the beginning of the year, we had a tendency to kind of have a new mind, a new set of ideas, because it's a new cycle, right? And I hope that you have new expectations, new dreams, and new hopes for this new year, 2015. If the Lord allowed us to be in here, I hope that you have good plans for working for God and for the church, and that He help us to accomplish whatever we plan, right? Some of you maybe are planning to move or relocate in another city, and we will be praying for that. Some of you will continue being with us here, and we will have new members and new visitors. We will continue with our church plans for building. And we also have projects like the one that you have here at the front of the church, that is repairing our fellowship hall. So many things that we need to do. But it's always good to consider God in our plans. Amen? So normally when people begin the year, I was mentioned that they have resolutions. Some of the most common resolutions are what? Lose weight, right? Precisely after the holidays, you know, and I'm telling you this, when I have my mother-in-law here present, she cooks so much and so well that we had a tendency to overeat a little bit, right? And you start gaining a little weight, and then, oh, I'm gaining weight. I need to start my diet again and my exercise. That's a good ideal. So are you planning to lose some weight this year? Good for you. What other are the normal resolutions that people do? Think about one. About doing exercise. You see, Seventh-day Adventists, we are really careful about the diet. We pay attention to what we eat and the things that we shouldn't eat. And that's important, because the Bible tells us if you do that, you will have better health. But we had the little tendency to forget that exercise is a key component also of health, right? So maybe you want to do a little bit more exercise this year in your daily routine. What about in the spiritual side? What you want to accomplish this year? Maybe you want to pray a little bit more, right? Maybe you want to do your biblical year, the reading the whole Bible in this year. That's a nice goal. What about doing more missionary work at the church? That's important too. Amen? So the title of the sermon today is a little deceiving, because if you read it, the title is Losing the Extra Weight. Right? And I don't want you to think about in the physical aspect, in the sense of losing weight. The way that I'm speaking here is a different kind of weight that we all carry in many occasions. So please go with me and open your Bibles in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. And we begin our study there in Hebrews. And this is what the Apostle Paul is telling the members of the church. Verse 1, chapter 12, this is what the Bible says. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who is the joy, and he was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and had sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Paul begins chapter 12 speaking about letting aside the extra what? the extra way. It seems that he is borrowing an illustration. Paul was probably thinking about the people who used to do running, the athletes and the stadiums and different physical activities. Remember that the Greeks were really into sports. And for them, the physical body, a good physical body, was something that they admired a lot. When you look at the sculptures of the Greek famous sculptors, you don't see nobody like with overweight in there, right? Everybody seems like very muscular, very with a nice physique. And you wonder, wow, these Greek people, they all had like an excellent bodies. That wasn't the case. But they admire people who have nice bodies. They pretty much place them in place of gods. And for them, it was important. And they had different activities. One of the activities that we are still doing today is the marathon, right? When you are running the 26 miles and trying to accomplish it in the shortest time possible. But the only difference is that at the time, athletes used to do exercise nude, naked. And that was a little kind of like strange. You know, we are not used to that kind of physical activity. We normally picture our athletes with a nice uniform, right? So you forget the mental image and let's move here, please. We want to see people dress, but in the less way possible. Why? When was the last time that you do like a nice running? When you start running, you feel really good, right? You are fresh, your muscles are working, or you are working fast. But then after a few minutes, what happened? You start getting like a little signals of pain, right? Maybe it's your knees, or maybe it's your muscles, or maybe it's your calf. I don't know, your foot. Something starts hurting. And you say, oh, I need to slow down a little bit because it's not good for me. Well, when you are doing exercise, every grams, every weight that you have in your clothes and your shoes, everything, it counts. In reality, it counts. Because the lighter your clothes is, the more exercise you will be able to do. Right? So the athletes in past time, in Paul time, they were used to run these long races naked. They had this crazy idea that, well, no weight, no extra weight, so I can run faster. And they were trying to get the prize. And Paul continued to say, listen, we are like people that is racing, that is running. And we have a great group of people that is looking at you right now, right? This witness, who are these witnesses? Who is these people that is looking at you? Well, it's your family members. It's your friends. It's your colleagues. It's co-workers. It's people that we relate every day in different activities. That you met at work, or that you met at the school, or you met at the Parents Teacher Association. Different things that you do. And they are looking at you and looking at your family and thinking, well, you have a beautiful family. You have a beautiful life. And I wish I can have the same life that you have. And it's amazing that some people had this desire to have your life. You know, I get surprised, and I talk to my in-laws here, that some of you are a great example for me. I probably have never mentioned this, but I would like to say this to you. I really admire you in the sense that your age and the activities that you do. I wish from the bottom of my heart that when I get to the 80s, I be like you. Maybe, well, you are not in the 80s, Pastor. What are you talking about? We are in the 60s here, right? Well, when you get to the 60s, I will look like you. Because your health and your energy and your encouragement is a great example for me. I met some of my friends. They are 40-something and they don't look that good. So what is the secret? Well, the secret is that you take care of your body. Well, the genes too. And you do exercise and do some things that help you to be healthy. So that's important. You see, not only living longer, but living healthy, having a better quality of life is important. So as a Christians, we had different struggles. We had different ways that we carry in our daily running, our daily experience. Please go with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Because Colossians is presenting this situation for Christians today. Colossians chapter 3. And we will start reading verse 1. If then, this Paul is saying to the church, you were raised with Christ, see those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you die, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So now Paul is saying, in the past, before you accept Him, you were a different person. Now that you are a Christian, you are a better human being, a better person, right? A different kind of human being. And let's continue reading here. So Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. When Christ, verse 4, when Christ who is in your life appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. He's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry, because all these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. Now Paul is saying, listen, in the past, this is the things that we used to do. You know, bad things. But now, things are different. And he continued, moving in his speech. But now, verse 8, now yourselves are to put all these. Now he is setting another set of problems for Christians. These issues. What issues? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you had to put the old man with his deeds, and had put on a new man who is renewed in his renewed knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So Paul is now changing the speech to the fellow brothers and sisters of church. He's telling them, listen, this new year, we should make some challenges. We have some new resolutions. What about stop lying to ourselves? What about stop lying to other people? You know, some people may the habit of lying a common practice. Have you noticed that? For them, lying is just like nothing. Everybody lies, they tell. Right? And since everybody lies, if I lie, well, it's not a big deal. Have you ever lied to someone? How that made you feel? Right? You feel like, a little shameful, right? But we all made these mistakes. I remember many, many years ago when my son was really small, and we purchased canned cookies, chocolate chip cookies. And the cookies start disappearing mysteriously, you know. So we initiate an investigation to find out who was the perpetrator behind this crime. And after the inquiry, you know, the first guilty one was my daughter, the old one, and inquired thoroughly, and she confessed that she didn't take any of the extra cookies. So we followed to start questioning Chris. Had you noticed any of the extra cookies missing? No, that I haven't eaten any of these extra cookies. But after careful examination, I start noticing, you know, chocolate marks in his collar neck and everywhere in his t-shirt. So the evidence was pointing that this guy was guilty. But he was lying to me. And that was kind of surprising because he was small. So who was teaching my son to lie? Who teaches to lie? It's like we come with these abilities, right? Natural in ourselves. We lie because we are afraid, because we want to cover things. Because we feel shame. Many reasons that we lie. So Paul is telling the members, listen, this new year, we should get rid of that. Lying is a bad thing. There's an extra way. It's a hindrance in you running. It's slowing you down toward your progress toward God. And it's important to be honest to yourself. Be accountable to yourself, right? And we are, I guess, as a Christian, all trying to achieve the mark of being perfect. But before we get into that point, we need to start to being honest. Look at yourself. Look at your life. What things do you need to remove from there? Is lie one of these things? It will be great. We begin this new year without lying. But Paul continued mentioning other problems for the Christians. What about anger? Do you lose your temper? Do you get angry? Guilty one here, I'm telling you. And I mentioned this before, you know, you think, Pastor Ben, he looked like a little lamb. No. You are confused, my little brother, sister. Talking to a dragon here, you know, like a wolf. And you probably had the same challenge like me, right? When you notice injustice or when somebody's doing something incorrect and people, we had a tendency to get a little angry. And when we get angry, we make mistakes. I even lost my ability to speak properly. I start kind of like stuttering more and because the anger doesn't let me speak well. I realize when I'm angry that I say things that I shouldn't say, that I really don't mean to say, but I say it anyway, because at that point I want to hurt this other person's feelings. You can be in there, right? And we shouldn't do that, because it's more difficult to clean up after we say things, when we lose control. The story tells us that a farmer was riding his mules and his carry horse in this rural street, you know, rural roads, one of these. Here in South Carolina, we had many of these. Happy with his two mules, moving his carry-on. And out of the blue, this gentleman come with this truck and hit the little car, injuring the two mules and injuring the farmer. You know, big accident there. So they had to call the state trooper, and when the trooper finally arrives, he asks the farmer, "How are you doing?" And the farmer say, "I'm doing well." Okay, so he filled the paperwork and everybody continued the day. Several months, this farmer was suing the person who hit him. So everybody complained against to the trial, and the judge was a little surprised. "Sir, when the officer approaches you and he asks you how are you feeling, you say that you will feeling great." And the farmer said, "Yes, I'd say that, but I need to explain why." So the judge says, "Okay, explain why you would say that." Well, the state trooper arrives, and the first thing that he did is start walking toward one of my mules, and she was really badly injured, and he took his gun and shot it right there in the head. And then he walked toward the other mule and looked at it, and it was injured, and shot it in the head again. And then he asked me how I was feeling. "Oh, I was feeling great. I don't want to get shot in the head." You see, when we are angry, we do terrible things. Things that we regret. So this new year, maybe we can ask God, "Help me to control my temper." During Sabbath school this morning, we were having a conversation. If you can ask God for something this year, like Solomon did. You remember when Solomon had this conversation with God, and God said, "Solomon, ask me for whatever thing that you want, and I will give it to you." And Solomon asked, "Please give me wisdom." That's a beautiful thing to request. So what you would like to request from God this year? Somebody say, "I would like to have more self-control." Say, "Wow, that was good." Right? When we lose our control, somebody's in control, right? It's not me, and it's not God. Who is in control? Yeah, it's not difficult to figure it out, right? So be careful when we lose and get into anger, you know, wrath. Paul continues saying in the things that we should abandon, what about malice? Are you the kind of person who is suspecting everybody is a terrorist? Or somebody that is to do you harm? Because we have this idea, right? We have these stereotypes in our minds that we judge people because the appearances, you know, this person looks different, he looks suspicious. Who knows? If you find me, I'm pretty sure if you find me one of these Sundays near Home Depot, standing there, you will think, oh, look at this guy. Probably he's looking for work, right? I'm telling you, I used to live in New York and in other places. When you go to Home Depot, New York, you have a bunch of people there waiting for work. And most of the time, they are Hispanics. So that's why I mentioned this. Stereotypes that we create, right? Be careful with that. Because our stereotypes, these judgments that we make, most of the time, they are wrong. We jump to conclusions. So be careful with malice. That's an extra way that it slows you down in your progress and your route to get closer to God this year. Blasphemy. That one is kind of like a heavy one. Do Christians commit blasphemy? What is exactly blasphemy? Where you are using language to offend God, to use the sacred things of God and using it in a common way. Right? Do you commit blasphemy in your daily life? Are you one of these persons who use the expression, oh my God, every single time that something insignificant happened in your life? To the point they get really, really annoying. One of the things that bother me from the new TV programs is when, especially the reality programs, is people using that expression over and over and over for every single thing. And most of the time it's not in a good contest, you know. Oh my God, thank you for this beautiful day. No. It's oh my God, and then it's a cursing for something bad that happened to them. And you know what is the sad part? Our kids get that too. The little ones. So you notice somebody in your family, a young one, you know, having this little issue, tell them, don't use that expression, use something different, right? So blasphemy is another hindrance for a Christian in our daily run. It slows us down in our progress toward God in this year, 2015. One more that he's mentioning here. He's using filthy language. What about filthy language? Are we guilty of that? Or is your speech always clean, pure, PJ General? In occasions, we say things that we shouldn't say, right? And we are lucky that no one is hearing us. But our mouth is an expression of our life, too. So James was mentioned this in the quarter, last quarter we were talking that in Sabbath school, that we use our mouth to worship God, but also to offend other people. And James is pointing that the tongue is one of the most difficult organs in the body to control. Remember that? We learned that in the last quarter. So this new year, we should ask God for control in our mouth too, maybe. Paul is discussing about the old man and the new man. What is really Paul meaning with this? Well, the old man is in reference to our old nature before knowing Christ. And the new man is the person who is accepting Christ and is being converted, is changing, right? Now, since you already have been baptized, are you living in the old man or you are living in the new man? What should be the answer? We should be living in the new man, right? And the new man had different habits, had different practices than the old man used to have. What Paul is saying here is, don't do the things that the old man used to do. The old man is already dead. It's dead. He dies when you accept Christ. You need to believe in that. And God is working in you. But don't do the things that the old man used to do, because it's confusing. Other people will think, oh, it's coming back. It's coming back, the old person, right? No. According to Romans, when we accept Christ, we die to the old life and we are born to a new life. So this new year, 2015, I hope that you had a new expectations in the spiritual way in your new life. Amen? What are your dreams? What are your expectations for this year? Whatever you decide to do, brother and sister, I hope that you accomplish it. I would like to invite you to spend time reading the Bible again. I would like to invite you to pray in your house, in your family, by yourself, meditating on the things that you like to do with God. This new year, before the ending of the new year, I was talking to one of my friends, and we were reflecting in the fact that this is 2015. And 45 years old this year. And I'm grateful for that. Many people didn't have the opportunity and the blessing to live to 45. And God is giving it to me. I'm grateful because I have a family. I'm grateful because I have a church. I have friends. I'm grateful because I have a job. I'm grateful because I have a house, a place to live, food. So there's many things for be grateful. And I'm speaking from my heart right now. I had a tendency to focus too much in the negative in occasions. And when we focus too much in the negative, then the blessings kind of like dissipate. You don't pay attention to the good. You only paying attention to the bad. So my wife was challenging me yesterday. I said, Ben, what about this year? If you're trying to be more patient, more optimistic, and oh, really? Yeah, that's good for me, you know. Thank you for setting these goals. And I'll be there to let you know when you are, you know, following out of the wagon. Oh, thank you, Denise, you know, like, for being such a great companion. But we all need that, right? Somebody to help us to get in the right way. So I'm trying to set out my goal for this new year. And I hope that you set your goals and talk to God, you know, and ask you, God, please give me wisdom and help me to work in some of my character and some of my things that I need to change this year. Because this is a great opportunity for us to be alive and to be in this community. Amen.